The name of this workshop is How to Counsel All Types of Addiction, and my name is Mark Shaw. I'm pastor here at Faith Church. We moved up here to take over the Vision of Hope program, so that's why you see those brochures there. And so I'm very thankful to be up here. I'm reaping where I did not sow, and I am very grateful to be on this team. Well, let's begin with prayer, shall we? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name. Lord, there is none like you. And we're humbled by your word that teaches us so much about the nature of our own hearts and how we need to be transformed into the likeness and image of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that we would be good stewards of the opportunities you give us to minister to others, hurting hearts and hardened hearts. We pray that we'd be faithful to your gospel. And we thank you for this class, this conference, and these opportunities you give us to grow in our relationship with you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And this is a topic that I really get excited to teach about. I want to read from 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17. The Bible says this: do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. And so that's what we're going to look at today, is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and boastful pride of life. This is a teaching for every counselee. So it's not just a teaching about addiction, although that's kind of what I specialize in. This is for every counselee. And really, the best way to do this is for you to apply these things to your own heart first. You know, I don't know about you, but I tell people I'm the chief of sinners in my own home. I mean, I have four kids, three of them are teenagers, and they all act better than their daddy, you know? So I am the one I'm most concerned about, and I need to learn and be growing. And then when I am, I can pour that out into their little hearts and into their souls. So Jeremiah 17:9 in the ESV says, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately sick. Who can understand it? The NLT says the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? I think we need to be careful about our own hearts, and I think that's why God wants us to live in community, because people help point out our hearts. We don't always see our own sin. That's what I love about a ministry like Vision of Hope. All day long, those girls, we come alongside, the interns come alongside these young ladies who have really had some treacherous, hideous things happen to them in their lives, and then they've made some poor choices as well. But we come alongside them to teach them what you're learning all week at this conference. We get to do that on a daily basis with them and just walk them through a biblical truth in the moment. And I love getting the opportunity to do that with the girls and just helping them to think about things in the right way. I mean, when we have a young lady leave the program in rebellion, which is always sad, it's something that I always want to announce to the girls and talk to them about it and really make sure that they're thinking about things in a biblical way and directing them, you know, because I don't want them just to go and think about it. I've got to help direct them, and that's what you do as a counselor. You have to direct your counselees because of the nature of their heart. And then in this workshop, we're going to look at all persons struggle with all three of these temptations. We're going to look at just three heart temptations today. I believe there's a tendency toward one temptation as a preference. Maybe you'd call it a sin preference. But there is one of these that people tend to struggle with more and more. We'll get to that in a minute. Addiction can be seen in these temptations as stages. And we'll talk more about that as we go too. So how is our flesh tempted by this world? Well, we're going to look at that and just Mark 7, verses 20 through 23 say this. And he said, this is Jesus, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. You know, I'd love to blame you for my sin. Or, you know, you didn't treat me well, or you didn't do this or do that. But the bottom line is I need to look at my own heart, my own response to life, and really what are those life-dominating idols or those desires in my heart that I'm wanting so much that I'm willing to sin. And that's what tough circumstances do, right? They reveal that to us. And then the world appeals to our sinful bent toward pleasing self. Genesis 5:3 is a great verse to think about, and it just says that Seth was born in the likeness and image of Adam. Likeness and image of Adam. Now, we still reflect the image of God, but Seth was born in the likeness and image of Adam with a fallen, marred, sinful nature. So I think it's important for us to understand that. I try to teach Genesis 1 through 11. I love Ken Ham's ministry, Answers in Genesis. I try to teach that to all of my counselees, especially at Vision of Hope, because they come in, they just have no idea about who their Creator is and any of those foundational things. So I just think you have to include that in counseling, whether it's an addiction case or any case, because people today really don't know who God is, and they love to read Genesis, and AIG is just a great ministry. So I would encourage you there. The physical component of addiction does not negate the fact that it is primarily a choice problem called sin and not a disease. So there it is. And that's what we're dealing with. You know, the world, there was a good article that Heath Lambert wrote, just came out today, I believe, the ACBC, about who's going to be the Ken Ham of the biblical counseling. Have you read that article or seen that? You've been in classes all day. I've been running around at Faith West and so forth. And it's good because what he says, and it's a lot of people, and he mentions a lot of people that are here at this workshop. I would just challenge you not to fall in love with the idea of a disease of addiction. It's just a belief system. That's really what it is. It's like evolution. It's a belief system. It's something that people believe. And there isn't scientific proof and evidence and all that kind of thing. It's just a theory and an idea. So don't fall in love with that. And then when we talk about choices, there's really choices in three areas: your thoughts, words, and actions. So think about your thinking and how it is habitual. Think about your talking, your words, and how they are habitual. I remember my son, when he was real little, he used to say, "That's stupid." Now, you know where he heard that, right? His mom. Okay, he heard it from me. You got me. So here's this cute little kid, but he's saying something that you just cringe, you know? "That's stupid, that's stupid." And we just couldn't stop saying that, buddy. You can't say that. Don't say that. Tells you about my parenting, right? You know? And so I remember one day just, "Stop saying that, stop saying that." And finally, I said, "Hey, when you want to say stupid, I want you to say instead silly. I want you to replace it." I don't know why I didn't think of the put off and put on sooner. And so one day, you know, you just never know when they're 2, 3, 4 years old in that range. And then one day he said, "That's silly." And he kind of had the put on to go to, you know. And it was so sweet. And I've never heard him say stupid since. And so, you know, we kept emphasizing how bad it was, but we never gave him the put on. And I think in addiction counseling, you've got to tell people the put on, what they can have in Christ, because that's what motivates people. Not the put off, not the "I can't drink" or "I can't do this" or "do that," but what they can have in Christ, in a relationship that is thriving with Jesus. So encourage that. So we counsel the heart at the thought level. We trust in God to reveal and then transform the desires of their hearts. And then we want to cultivate their hearts. Teach them not to follow their hearts, but to cultivate their hearts, to lead their hearts, to direct their hearts with truth. Like I talked about with the residents of Vision of Hope, when a young lady leaves in rebellion, I want to direct their hearts, and hopefully one day they'll be able to direct their hearts on their own with truth. We believe also that God's grace brings repentance. I love Romans 2:4. second half of that, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. And then Acts 11:18, the latter part of that, then to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life.